Well, as always, we're going before the Word of God, and when you get into the Word, it's going to do one of two things, perhaps both. It's going to either form a new belief about God, or it's going to reinforce a belief that you already have about God. Maybe both. And hopefully, your faith is strengthened as you open the Word, as we open the Word together. Our faith gets built up on the inside. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you, Father God, that your Word has the power to change the way we think, the way we act, to transform us by your Holy Spirit into the image of your Son. Father, thank you, God. Thank you that we truly can be imitators of God because of what your Son Jesus did on the cross, because you didn't leave us as orphans in this world, Father, but you gave us the Holy Spirit to not only go with us, but to live inside of us. And so, Father, as we explore more about what it means to be born again and be filled with the Holy Spirit, Father, I thank you that you are able to make all grace abound to us. Father, as we open up your Word today, speak to us, strengthen us, and with a thankful heart, we in advance thank you for encouraging us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you would, let's turn on there to John chapter 3. That's where we begin in this series, John chapter 3. We're talking about being thankful for living above. The new birth allows us to live above. So we're being thankful for this new birth, this opportunity to be born again, this opportunity to have a fresh start, a new life, as we have read and as we have talked about in these last couple of weeks. Well, today we're going to go a little bit deeper. But in John chapter 3, we're going there because that is the key of what we were talking about. In John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, if you haven't underlined that phrase, "God is with him," I think that that is a good phrase to underline, because that is the purpose of the new birth, is to have God not only with you, but God living inside of you. And then he goes on to say, Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the new birth? I'm thankful for being able to live above life's challenges and life's issues, right? We live in a fallen world, and a lot of times I've heard, you know, Christians say, "Well, why did that happen? Why does God allow that to happen? Why did God allow this to happen and that to happen?" And they point to all the tragedies and all the terrible things that have happened in history and on earth, and the oppression and the different injustices that we see. And yet people say, "Why did God allow that to happen?" And I think part of that is that I think there's a misunderstanding of what we're in. People think, well, you know, God's in control of everything. And most Christians would acknowledge and say God's in control of everything. And I just submit to you that when Adam sinned, he turned over the authority in this earth to the enemy. And the devil actually, Jesus called him the prince of the power of the air, right? And the Apostle Paul echoes that, says the prince of the power of the air. There is an evil force that controls much of what goes on in planet Earth, the fallen version of the planet Earth. When we get born again, we get a new nature. We're actually living above the storm and the junk that's on planet Earth. And you say, oh, Pastor, are you trying to take away from God's power? No, not at all. Not at all. I'm not trying to take away. You see, when Adam was put in charge of this earth, he was created in God's image, and he was charged to keep, to guard, and protect the garden. And Adam shirked that responsibility when he and Eve sinned, and sin entered into the world. Fear was the first emotion that ever showed up. And if you'll really study it, fear goes to a deep, deep reason why people hate each other. Why there are wars and distrust and all of those things, right? It's because there's this fear. There's a fear somebody's going to take what's mine. And so that emotion and that realm of the enemy taking over planet Earth, if you will, Jesus came to buy mankind back one at a time, not the entire earth. That's why we don't believe in universal salvation. We don't believe that we're all going to be saved because of what Jesus did. We don't believe that. We believe it is a personal decision that each person makes, because the Word of God bears this to be true. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. Okay? So this is not Pastor Doug's idea, all right? This is, we're coming from Scripture here. Now, so it's interesting because all authority, let's go there to Matthew 28. Because now I want to talk to you about why we're thankful for living above. In Matthew chapter 28, once Jesus accomplished what he did on the cross, in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now in verse 19, he gives that authority to his disciples and to the believers. He says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus then gives us his authority because he was given all authority. And so when we as believers walk on planet Earth, we're still walking, if you will, in a war zone. We're still walking in a conflict that happened way back in the Garden of Eden, the fallen planet Earth. So when somebody says, well, why do bad things happen? We're still living in a fallen Earth. And so you say, well, Pastor, that just sounds like God's not in control. God's in control with those who allow him to be in control. Do you hear me? You see, when God's in control of things that people allow. In fact, Jesus gives us the name that is above every name. That at that name, that's when demons come out. Why? They have no authority. That's why when we, as New Testament believers, take authority over the enemy, it's because he still has authority in many realms. That's why you can't force somebody to be a Christian.
That's right.
It's still a free will. You can't force them to believe. It's their choice. They have to choose or not choose. And so what we have to do is we have to understand living above and living this new birth out is we're living in a fallen world. It still has sickness. It still has disease. It still has sin, right? And so in one sense, when you get born again, you are saved, right? We use that term in church a lot. I'm saved. When did you get saved? Well, I got saved when I was a little kid, right? I got saved, I tell people, when I walked that aisle at Lighthouse Baptist Church, 737 Lighthouse Drive, North Palm Beach, Florida, 33408. I know the address. I know that's where I got saved. That's where it went from here to here, and I got born again. I remember it. I remember it like it was yesterday, right? I was saved. Now hear me. As I walked this salvation out, I'm being saved. And one day, I will have a new body that is resistant to any kind of sin or disease, and I will be saved. So you were saved, you're being saved, you will be saved. You will get a new body. Now, we saw in John chapter 20 that Jesus, literally his resurrection body, could walk through walls. It's a different dimension. It's a different world. We're talking that Jesus literally just walked through walls. Just walked through walls. I mean, that's the kind of body that you and I are going to have. See, we were saved, right? We're being saved. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, I just believe that anything that happens is God's will. Wait a second. How could that be? Just for a second. You say, what? Well, what do you mean? Well, God's will is that we read our Bible. How many of you in here have gone through dry spells in your life where you didn't read your Bible before? Do you think it was his will that you read it? Yes. Did he make you read it? No. What about when we're supposed to pray? What about when we're supposed to give, when we're supposed to serve, when we're supposed to do something and we ignore that still small voice on the inside? We ignore it. Why? Because we still have the choice. Is it God's will that we feed the poor? Yes. Have you ignored people before that are poor? Probably. Every one of us have. You're getting real quiet on me. That's because I'm talking about this new birth that we have is an amazing gift, and not everybody gets it unless they choose it. And we still live in a fallen world. We still live where people are walking in darkness because they choose darkness. And our job is to be light wherever we go. In fact, let's go ahead and let's look at this next verse. Galatians 2:20. We've been there before. Galatians 2:20. I'll give Colin a minute. He's pretty good back there following me. Isn't he? I appreciate him. He's pretty good. He follows me. Alright, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, I have the power living inside of me so that I can say, I've been crucified with Christ. But you see, we're still walking around with this flesh. Look at your hands. Right? If you pinch your finger on a door or hit your thumb on a hammer, it hurts, doesn't it? You're still in the flesh. Right? And some of you, when that happens, I mean, your flesh just wants to yell out a word that maybe you shouldn't. Right? What is that? That's flesh. You see, we're still walking around in a body that is susceptible to temptation, susceptible to disease, susceptible to all kinds of things, and even death. In fact, they tell us, which is really kind of a morbid fact, that from the time you're born, you know, you're literally on your way to dying. Isn't that terrible? It's a terrible thought. Well, that's because we're still living in this fallen world. And when we get born again, There is something on the inside that changes my destiny. We've talked about this in this series, that a new creation, a species that never existed before. You actually, God took your old, dead human spirit and made it alive to God and gave you the life of God on the inside. The life of God on the inside. And, you know, when I first got saved, like, and you've heard me say, I went to this Bible study. We sang silly songs. We worshiped God. We had experiences with God as a bunch of teenagers. But one of the ones that I used to love to sing was, and you know it, some of you do, I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got His life, His nature, and His ability. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the love of God in me. I've got the love of God in me. I've got His love, His nature, and His ability. I've got the love of God in me. Now listen, if you really believe that, how many lives can you change? Wherever we go. As I was meditating on this message this morning, the Lord gave me a picture. I grew up in South Florida, as you know. And when I was a little kid, we had these propane heaters that were built into the wall. How many of you have ever seen those? See, down in Florida, it doesn't get that cold in the winter. I mean, what's going on right here would be considered deep cold for South Florida. That's when the iguanas fall out of the trees. True story. Everybody thinks they're dying. They're not dead. They just go into shock. And they fall out of the trees. And then people think they're dead. They take them home, and then they could come alive. It's not really. It's really good. Yeah. So, but when I was a little kid, you know, crawling around on the floor, I have these vivid memories of seeing that in the wintertime on these little propane built-in-the-wall heaters, that you would see a little pilot light, a little blue light, and I just loved to stare at it through the grate. You couldn't touch it, but it was always on in the wintertime. It was like this little pilot light would be, you know, just right there. And the heat wasn't really on. It just a little pilot light. Just a little pilot light. But when it got cold, and when they had a cold front come through, they would turn that thing on, and it would glow a little bit more. Now, cut the chase to, as an adult, I'm working for an assisted living facility in New Canaan, Connecticut. And they had this beautiful living room with these stuffed couches and you know, coiffed chairs, and it just was very homey. They tried to make it like a living room of somebody's house, but you had to accommodate like 50 people. You know, so it's this big fireplace, very pretty. And it always also had one of these little pilot lights where it was always on. And as a security person at night, I would have to make my rounds. And if it wasn't that cold, you know, all you'd see is the little pilot light down there. But then when it got really cold, they turned it up, and this blazing fire would just, you know, with fake logs. How many know what I'm talking about, right? You'd see these fake logs, and it would just give off so much heat, warmth. You just wanted to go and just sit near it. As Christians, are you content with just keeping your pilot light on? That's the question I want to ask. Because you can keep your pilot light on from now until Jesus comes. You'll go to heaven. But what effect do you have on people around you? You have to turn it up. There is a fuel to the fire.
That's right.
There's a fuel to the fire.
That's right.
And if we are born again, we cannot just be complacent and say, Well, I'm in. Pull the ladder up. I'm safe. Pull the ladder up. Now, you might have the pilot light going, but what are you doing to affect others around you? You've got to add fuel to the fire. You know, Pastor Christine and I, we were exhorting you, and I believe it was God, to be a part of the local church family. Be a part, right? Be a part. Because then when you're hurting, we'll hurt with you. Mm-hmm. When you rejoice, we'll rejoice with you. Mm-hmm. When, you know, and that's part of being a family. That's part of being a local church. That's why it's important to be connected in some way so that when you go through those difficult times, you know, why? Because if you've got your light, maybe your light is a little low this week. Your pilot light's a little low, but you come here and everybody's pilot light might be at different levels, then that warmth warms many people around. And then there is more of God that is manifest because we've come together. We've come together. That's so important. And the enemy wants to keep us apart. He wants to keep us apart. He wants to keep us isolated and alone. He wants to just, you know, so if you get born again, you get your pilot light lit. It's just a little light, you know, just this little light of mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're going to do that song, but when we're all together, we make much more of a presence of God. When God's people come together, there is a corporate anointing. God is able to do things when we come together like no. I mean, yes, me and Jesus is fine. It's good. I encourage you, get in with Jesus. Get alone with Jesus. But we've got to be together with Jesus too. Because when we come together, things happen. Miracles happen. Signs, wonders. God is able to manifest himself to a greater degree. Why? Because we're living above and we're thankful. Now, last week I gave you an assignment. I said, live from that place of letting Jesus be big in you. Does anybody have a God story that you would be bold enough to come up here and say, I got a God story? God showed up and showed out. Anybody at all? We're thankful for God stories. God stories. Now, we know Lilac Rain, although it wasn't this week. It was 2 weeks ago, right? 2 weeks. She's a God story, right? She's a God story. She's a little sweet miracle, right? Now, what about you? What are things that happened in your life? Maybe you walked in today and you were like, Pastor, I made it through the week. That's a God story. If that's you, that's okay. That's all right. Because God's still living in you. He's still living and he took you through maybe a rough week. Mm-hmm. How many in here, you'll be honest, just say, I had a rough week. I'm just going to go ahead and put my hand up because I did. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Okay, but you know what? He was with me. He was with me. Remember what we just read in John chapter 3? God was with him. At this time of year, when we start to celebrate Christmas, what are we talking about? Emmanuel. God with us. The presence of God living on the inside of you is the biggest story that could be told. There is a God story for each one of you. I mean, I know a couple of you, you're just not necessarily people that want to run up to a microphone and tell a story. But some of you have sent me little blurbs. Or you'll call us. You'll send me a blurb on Facebook. You'll send me a blurb through a voicemail about how God used you to share the gospel or to minister to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not bragging. It's bragging on God.
That's right.
That's what it is.
That's
and we
right.
want to hear about those moments. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That's right.
So when we testify of God's goodness in our life, that he brought us through a rough week, right? when he brought us through a difficult situation, that's a testimony to say, hey, God just helped me through a rough week. It was a rough one, but he was with me every step of the way. He gave me peace. He gave me provision. He gave me sustenance. I mean, when we lived in the British Virgin Islands, you know, I loved some of the island people. I would just say to them, hey, good morning, how are you? And they loved to say, good day. Almost the same songy in the British Virgin Islands, that's how they say it. Good day. And it's a sing song, right? And I would say, good day. And they'd say, good day. And I'd say, how are you doing today? And they'd say, the Lord woke me up this morning. And what was that? That was a praise to say, that's a God story that I'm just thankful that I woke up and I could give him praise. I woke up, I could give him praise. I woke up and I could give him praise. I woke up and I could give him praise. As long as there is breath in me, I will give God praise, right? And so even though we're living in this fallen world, even though we're living in a world that needs the love of God, when we go through difficulty, Emmanuel, God with us, he's with you right there. And you get to carry him with you.
That's right.
Isn't that good?
Yes, it
is. Are
you
thankful for living above?
Amen.
That's why we can say, I have been seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Seated with him. Well, if he's seated, he's not worried, is he? He's not pacing the floor going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Do you think Jesus does that? I don't think so. Seated with Jesus in heavenly places. It's a place of authority. God has put you as a believer in a place of authority. As you take that rightful place in the place of authority, you can change circumstances. You can change situations by saying, no more. No more. Devil, get your hands off of this. No more. You will not continue to attack my body. You will not continue to attack my family. You will not, and I forbid you to do it in the name of Jesus. Now that's a little bit of a, you say, Pastor, that's kind of strong. Yes, it is. Because we speak what we believe.
That's right.
We speak what we believe. And as I was meditating on this even a little bit further, turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 15. Hebrews chapter 15. I'm going to finish up what we're doing here today. I'm sorry, 13.
How about I say it?
15, 15 chapters. Glory to God. 13. 15. Had it flipped around. It was going to be 15, 13, but it's 13, 15. All right, Hebrews 13, 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Okay, we're thankful for the new birth. We're thankful that we have a place in God. We've been given a new nature. Remember when I started this series out, I said, the Bible says that we were darkness, and now we're light. We were darkness, now we're light. Live as children of the light. Therefore, do what it says. Let us continually, that means ongoing. That's why I think I was inspired by some of my island friends. I thank God he woke me up this morning. Thank God he woke me up this morning, right? Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. When is it a sacrifice? When it's not convenient. When you've had a bad week. When you don't feel like it. When you're tired. When you're lonely, when you're angry, a sacrifice of praise can go up, even in those moments. And that's when it becomes a sacrifice. when things are going great, that's easy, isn't it? When things are going amazing, oh man, I got more money and more time than I know what to do with. Glory to God, right? And if that's you, that's easy. But what happens when the checkbook screams at you? You go to open it up and it goes, no! What happens when your body tells you, I'm tired. I'm lonely. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. Right? What happens? Is it easy at that point to just start to praise God? No, it's not. Your flesh screams out, but let me tell you something. Here's a little secret. The spirit man on the inside loves it when you give in to the spirit man. And the spirit man says, I just want to praise God, because that's what I was created to do. I'm connected to God, so just let me praise Him. Let me praise Him. Get your mind out of the way and let me praise Him. Things don't look good. Let me praise Him. Things don't look great. Let me praise Him. Things are hard. Let me praise Him. I'm upset. Let me praise Him. What is that? Your spirit man. You are light. Live as children of the light. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm not saying this is easy. This is not easy. This is not easy, but it is simple, isn't it? It's simple. It's very simple. It's very simple. Just not always easy. Notice what it says there. It says, offer the sacrifice of praise to who? To who?
To God. To God.
To God, right?
That's right.
That is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips. And then he describes what that is. Giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks. I've said this for years. Thanksgiving is the language of faith. It's the language that I believe I receive, so I thank you in advance, God, for doing it. I don't see it yet, but I'm thanking you for it, because I know you're faithful to your word. I know that you're a good God. I know that you love me. I know that you're going to bring me through. I know that you are my source. And I will not see the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. I know, God, you are faithful. You have never let me down. I know you are faithful, God. I know you are going to bring me through to the other side. Even if the answer that I thought I was going to get, I don't get, you will make sense of the answer that I'm getting, and you will bring me through with grace. You will bring me through with understanding. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ. I'm not confused. I do know what to do. I may not know exactly in that second that you asked me, but I know what I'm going to do. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks. I looked that up in the Greek, of course. And one of the words that's used in that phrase is homologeo. Homo logeo. What does it mean? To say the same thing that God says. To say the same thing that God says. Now bring that to practicality. You're anxious about something. You're worried about something. We do know we're not supposed to worry and we're not supposed to be anxious for anything. But instead, by prayer and supplication, giving thanks to God, right? So we know we're not supposed to worry, but all of us could perhaps have opportunities to worry, to be anxious, to be fretful, right? Every one of us in here have experienced that. So we all have that opportunity. But the fruit of our lips should say the same thing that God says about something. Do you think Jesus is pacing the floor? What are we going to do? How are we going to pay that bill? What are we going to do? You think he's wringing his hands? No. What about us? If we'll apply this verse, the fruit of our lips, we're going to give thanks for the answer in advance. We're going to say the same thing that God says. I'm healed. Hallelujah. I am well fed. Hallelujah. My needs are supplied. Hallelujah. I have the peace of God. I sleep well. I'm not worried. I'm going to walk in this homologeo. I will say the same thing God says. He will keep me in perfect peace if my mind is stayed on Him. So now there's the if. There's the if. See, you and I have a choice. Will we do this? Continually offer the sacrifice of praise. It is a sacrifice when your flesh doesn't feel like it. It is a sacrifice when you don't want to. It is a sacrifice when your priorities are not aligned with God's. It is a sacrifice. Every single time. Every single time. But the fruit of our lips should be speaking the praise of God. The fruit of our lips should be thanking God in advance. The fruit of our lips should say, He's my answer. Well, what are you going to do? See, that's what the enemy says to you most of the time. Now, sometimes well-meaning people will say, now, what are you going to do about that? And they say it with like this fearful voice. You know, like, that sounds terrible. Right? I don't, you're like, I know what to do. I'll let you know. Right? Brother Adam, I'll let you know. I'll let you know. I got it. I got it down here. I got the answer down here. Why? I'm carrying the answer giver.
Mm-hmm.
The answer giver lives on the inside of me. I can't speak it yet, but I got the answer. Don't know it in the natural, but I know it in the spiritual, right? So I'll let you know. I got it. I got it. You said, that sounds really cocky. No, that's a confidence in God. That's a confidence in God. That's a faith-filled statement that says, I believe God, who lives on the inside of me, is bigger than any problem that I face in this life. And He can always cause me to triumph in Christ Jesus. He will always cause me to go forward in Him. So guess what? I am thankful for being able to live above, to fly above the clouds, and to live in that atmosphere of praise. The fruit of my lips, thanksgiving, 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 thanksgiving. It's always acting worthy of the benefit received. When you're thankful, when you're thankful, you're acting worthy of the benefit received. Yeah. Worthy. Worthy of the benefit received. I thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. What is that? That's an appreciation. That's an understanding of what's been given. So praise God. We're a thankful people. We are a thankful people. We're thankful that we can live above. We're thankful that we are continually giving thanks to Him, right? To His name. Hallelujah. And verse 16 says, do not forget to do good and to share with such sacrifices. God is well pleased. You see, God wants to bless you so much that you can share with others. I've said this before, God wants to prosper you. And that gets some people a little bit nervous. Oh no, he's one of those prosperity gospel preachers. Listen, God wants you to prosper. There is nothing wrong with prosperity. When you are prosperous, it means that you have more to give away. You have more to share with others. Instead of just your little pilot light flickering, you've got a flame, and people get around that flame and are warmed by the fire. And you're able to provide benefit for somebody else. Now, if you're just interested in getting rich, that's not prosperity. Do you hear me? That's not prosperity. That'll eventually just make you greedy. And that's not what God teaches. But we would have more than enough. More than enough to supply everybody else around us. That is so that we can share. That is so we can act worthy of the benefit that God wants to prosper you. Amen? And we can be thankful. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for all that you've given us. You've given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of you. And Father, as we delve into the scriptures and find out this amazing gift of the new birth, that you've caused us to live above, to live not from a place of constant need, but instead a place of thanksgiving, a place of having a heart, knowing where everything has been supplied from, and that the fruit of our lips is giving thanks. Father, thank you for healing. Thank you for provision. Thank you for wholeness. For your people who are watching today, if there's some that may need healing, there's some that may need a touch of wisdom to know a decision to be made. Father, I thank you. The mind of Christ is theirs. I thank you, Father God, for those that are struggling in relationships, Father, that your peace and your help can come. Father, thank you for that in the name of Jesus. If you're here today or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to know him. To receive Jesus is to receive an amazing supernatural gift, to be born again. If that's you, either in this place or online, I'm just going to invite you to pray a simple prayer with us. We're going to pray it all together out loud. And when we do, if you pray with us, God will meet you right where you are. And he will cause you to have a new nature, to be born again, to be born again. So right now, let's pray. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I come before you.
I come before you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That Jesus is the Son of God.
Is the Son of God.
He died for my sins.
He died for my sins.
He rose again.
He rose again.
He paid the price.
He paid the price.
So that I wouldn't have to.
So that I wouldn't
have
to.
And I receive his forgiveness.
And I receive his
forgiveness. I receive Jesus.
I receive Jesus.
And the life of God.
And the life of God.
Into my life.
Into my life.
To make me new.
To make me new.
To cause me to be born again.
To cause me to be born again.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If that's you and you received Christ, we want to know about it. We want you to message us on Facebook Messenger. We'd like to send you some help. Help you find a church if you're from far away. We have friends all over the world. We have friends that we can connect you with and help you in your walk with God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we have our closing verse, our sending out verse, I should say. I always call it closing verse. It's a sending out verse because this allows us to be sent out from this place. And the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. We're so thankful that you've joined us today. If you need extra prayer for anything, I'm going to be available down front. They're going to be preparing and getting ready for our Thanksgiving feast. We wish all of you a very happy Thanksgiving on this holiday week. And we ask God's blessing on you as well. And thank God, he is good. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.